hanging over the lake like the tip of a sparkler. The master bedroom in my place in Chicago had floor-to-ceiling windows and a wraparound deck with a patio that connected to the living room. You could turn left and see the skyscrapers. Turn to the right, and there was Lake Michigan, looking as limitless as an ocean. It was one of three modern, inspired units on the 40th floor of the Park Hyatt on Michigan Avenue. I had been there just about a year, and every time I opened the front door, I would step into the foyer in shock at how my life had drastically changed. It was spectacular. In places like Los Angeles or Miami, you take days like June 19, 2003 for granted. But in Chicago, where the winters are so cold, dark, and long that the locals call it Siberia, days like these are treated like precious jewels. While standing in front of the window in my bedroom, I took a deep breath and gazed upon my new city of dreams. I reached out and pressed my hand against the window to feel the warmth of the light and thought to myself, today is going to be an amazing day. One of my dreams growing up was to have multiple homes. It just seemed like one of those things that symbolized real success. So during my rookie year with the Chicago Bulls, I rented a home in Deerfield near the team's practice facility, in addition to the sleek 2,300-square-foot luxury condo in the heart of downtown Chicago. Since my parents wouldn't let me touch my actual NBA salary, both places were covered by the money I had already made from endorsement deals. Looking back, this was one of the times when their control over me turned out to be for the best. So many people look at what happened to me later that afternoon through the prism of a ruined NBA career, but that's not how I think about it today. Or at least that's not the only way I think about it. The way I see it, it's a reminder of how things can change in a flash. There's a saying that a sense of immortality is a curse carried only by the young, but I disagree. We all do it. Take the future for granted. That's just human nature. Then one day you wake up in your perfect apartment on a perfect day with your perfect job, leave for a meeting, and never see that perfect apartment again. The day before, I had flown down to Durham, North Carolina to talk to some students at a basketball camp at my alma mater, Duke. Afterwards, I played pickup ball with some of the Duke players while Chris Collins, who was still an assistant coach under Coach Mike Krzyzewski at the time, watched. This was my first time playing against J.J. Redick, who was one of the greatest players to ever play at Duke. J.J. and I were in separate teams in a pickup game, and I loved how as a freshman, his ego was almost as big as mine. Almost. He was fiery and competitive and reminded me very much of myself. I picked one of my best friends, Graham, who had just finished a solid career at Appalachian State, to be on my team. But JJ insisted on enforcing this unspoken rule that only Duke players have the right to play in the first game. JJ was already on his way to taking Christian Laettner's throne as the most disliked Duke player. I remember looking at him and saying, "Are you fucking kidding me? I picked Graham, and he's going to play on my team. That's final." What had already slipped my mind, not even a year removed from playing college basketball, was that at Duke, rules are rules. It was not only embarrassing to get overruled by a freshman leading the way, but even more so that it happened in front of 600 campers. Whether right or wrong, I felt disrespected on a court where I had accomplished way more than anyone there at the time. So I walked Graham over to the sideline and told him, "Enjoy the show." I was angry, and I knew what was coming. The game went to 11 baskets, and I scored 9, all on JJ. I had just finished my rookie season as a pro, and it was the most up and down year I had ever had, on and off the court. Our journey wrapped in April, since we didn't make the postseason. We were 24 games out of playoff contention, and I immediately headed to the gym to work my ass off for the following season. I was determined to come back with a vengeance. I hadn't realized how much I had improved, but Chris Collins saw it right away. "Man, you've been working on your game, huh? Your game has gone to another level," he said. "You're going to dominate the league next year if you keep playing like that." The next morning, I got up to take a crack of dawn flight home to Chicago. When I got to my condo downtown, I threw my bags down, got undressed, and fell right into the bed for the first of two power naps that day. I wouldn't have bothered setting my alarm clock if I hadn't already committed to a workout at the Berto Center, as well